very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. One could say it began on September 11, 2001, when four aircraft hijacked by terrorists crashed into targets in the United States. Of course, we all know that terrorists were making war on us far earlier, the 1972 Munich Olympics, the Marine Barracks bombing in 1983, the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993, the 1995 car bombing of a U.S. facility in Saudi Arabia, and the attacks on the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998. Of course, who could forget the suicide attack upon the USS Cole in 2000? Perhaps it was the brazenness of the September 11th attacks, or the fact that it took the lives of nearly 3,000 innocent victims, citizens of 78 different countries, that finally caused nations across the world to stir in an overwhelming response. On September 20th, 2001, in an address to Congress, President Bush announced a global war on terrorism, stating, "Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated." While in terms of casualties, the global war on terror has not been the most devastating, it does remain the longest sustained conflict in our nation's history, with our forces engaged today, right now, 19 years later. Today we'll be talking with a man who's been part of that fight, the tip of the spear, if you will, as a Special Forces Green Beret. Combat injuries forced him to shed his uniform and don a suit, and now he is leading an effort to build a memorial that will serve as a lasting tribute to the courage and sacrifice of all who have served in our nation's longest war. Welcome to American Warrior Raider, Mr. Michael Rod Rodriguez.
Hey, Ben, how you doing today? I really, really appreciate the invitation. I'm humbled to have this chat with you today, my friend.
Well, Rod, we've been going back and forth with your communications folks for a while. I'm glad we're finally getting this done. Now, you're the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. Folks can learn more, GWOT, memorialfoundation.org. Rod, let's start with a little bit about you, because I find your background is fascinating and in many ways a perfect fit for this foundation. But for you, service to our nation is a family business, isn't it?
Yes, sir, without a doubt. You know, I've said quite often, my first heroes growing up were my grandfathers who served in World War II, my father who's a Vietnam veteran. That was, as a child, I always knew I was going to join the service. We're an Army family, so I was going to join the Army. And that continued as well to, my oldest son is currently serving the 82nd Airborne Division, as well as my wife is currently is a retiree as well.
Now, Rod, why the Green Berets for you?
It's kind of a funny story. So before I joined the Army, that's what I wanted. I knew I'd heard about them. Before I do anything, I always do my research. So before I joined the Army, I looked into the Special Forces and other Special Operations units, and the Green Berets were always kind of stood out for me a little bit more so because they tend to work with people a little bit more. They speak foreign languages. They go into host nations, and that really, that form of communication, learning through other cultures, that sense of human attachment really drew me towards them. But when I joined the Army, that wasn't an option. So I joined the Army, in 1992. And my first experience with Green Berets was I was in Somalia as a young 18-year-old, and I saw an ODA, Special Forces Operational Detachment, and they were just different. They stood out. They weren't braggadocious. They weren't, they were just very different. And anytime we got anywhere, they were always there. And one thing I remember, they had a pet monkey, which as an 18-year-old I thought was really cool. So that kind of, once I was able and I had enough seniority in the Army at that time, you had to be an E4 specialist, promotable, before you went to selection. And then once I got to that point, actually I was an E5 when I submitted an application to go to selection.
Now, Rod, let's talk a little bit more about, because the Green Berets, I mean, if there's one word that I had, if I had to choose one to describe them, the word unconventional comes to mind. And in terms of the war on terror, you know, asymmetric, unconventional, those are definitely words that come up very often. So that seems to fit right in the Green Berets wheelhouse, if you will. Tell us a little bit more about their mission. It's pretty diversified, but, you know, one thing I noticed is a phrase, the Green Berets are usually among the first to go when it comes to bad situations around the world.
Right. That's definitely the case. And here's the thing is chances are if there's some stuff going down, we're probably already there. So at any given time, there are Green Berets deployed across the globe in anywhere between 85 to 100, 110 countries right now. So chances are we're probably already in the area, first of all. As far as our mission set, it's just when I speak to people who never served or don't really understand the community, I use an analogy to try and compare us because, you know, all special operations units, whether it's our Frogman brothers, the SEALs, the Army Ranger guys, from Ranger Battalion or any of the special mission units, whether it's Delta Force or Dev Group and therefore special operations guys, we're all very good at what we do. But we all have certain mission sets. So the best way I like to describe it is if you look at people, like let's talk about here in the continental United States, like law enforcement. When you say law enforcement, what do you mean? You know, so like the Drug Enforcement Agency, they're focused on drugs, you know, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms. And, you know, you kind of understand all the law enforcement agencies who work together, whether it's a local police department, whatever. But the most diverse law enforcement organization that exists that works in every aspect, whether it's, you know, drug enforcement or policing or what have you, is the FBI. So if we were to be work for the DOJ, we would probably be the FBI, meaning we do everything, whether it's counterterrorism, hostage rescue, unconventional warfare, special reconnaissance, foreign internal defense. You know, there isn't a single unit that exists in the Department of Defense that has the broad mission set and skills that Special Forces Green Berets do.
Now, Rod, I think a perfect example of that, we were attacked on September 11th. By October 2001, almost less than a month later, Task Force Dagger is in Afghanistan. And remind our folks who they were and why they probably should recognize that name.
No, without a doubt. Those were the very first recognized, you know, combatants. You know, that was, you know, it was some select teams from 5th Special Forces Group. That were the very first teams to hit the ground. And that was, October 7th. And they were tasked with organizing the Northern Alliance to kind of go against the Taliban. You know, they hit the ground. It wasn't just Green Berets. They had some other people with them, you know, with the intelligence community, to name some of them, I guess. So they hit the ground running, and they were tasked with, beginning the offensive operations in the global war on terror.
Now, if you saw the movie 12 Strong, Rod, they hit the ground riding.
Right? Yes, that is right. Yeah, they're pretty famous for riding horses.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie. Now, you mentioned you've got 9 deployments over 21 years, Rod. You mentioned Somalia, the 10th Mountain Division in Somalia. Did you happen to be there in October of 1993?
You're right on par with the first question I always get asked. No, I was okay. Not there. I left just before that. You know, I was there up, I guess, during the, I don't want to call it a buildup, but, you know, as the increase in hostilities were escalating, the unit that I was with, we rotated out just before that happened.
Okay, fair enough. I had to ask the question. Rod, when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your time in the military and your deployments. And I mean, gosh, a dozen concussions over a 5-week period. And what caused you to have to trade the BDUs for a suit? Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Michael Rod Rodriguez. He's the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. We'll be right back.
Here at American Warrior Radio, we consider it our duty to share the stories of the brave men and women who protect us at home and abroad. Our audience is growing, but there's still so many more ears that need to hear these important messages. Will you lend us a hand? Please consider supporting our mission by becoming a patron of American Warrior Radio. For the price of 1 cup of coffee a month, you can help us extend our reach and earn some great prizes in the process. Learn more by visiting patreon.com/American Warrior Radio. That's patreon.com/American Warrior Radio. Thank you.
Diamondback has been your hometown source for all of your shooting and personal protection needs for over 17 years. We stock handguns, shotguns, and rifles from all of the major manufacturers, including Glock, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, Colt, LMT, H&K, CZ, Mossberg, and Springfield. You will find the biggest selection of holsters in southern Arizona at Diamondback, along with all the accessories needed to maintain your firearms. Don't forget optics and the best ammo prices. AR parts are available from Magpul, Troy, Volter, GG&G, Surefire, and Odinworks. We are a Class 3 dealer, so be sure to ask about silencers. They're legal to own and hunt with in Arizona, and they make shooting more enjoyable. Training classes for novice through advanced students in pistol, rifle, and shotgun are now available. Pick up a schedule today for more details. We now have a full-time gunsmith on site. Everything from basic gun repairs to custom metalwork and Cerakote finishing. Diamondback Shooting Sports is located at 7030 East Broadway and is open 7 days a week. 886-8338. Find us at dbackshootingsports.com. Trident Grill is one of the most military-friendly restaurants in Tucson, with military discounts every day of the year. Trident has great food. It's also one of those unique places that instantly makes you feel like you've been a customer for years. All your favorite sports on high-definition TVs and the best happy hours in town. Three great locations. The original near the U of A at 2033 East Speedway. Trident 2 at Plaza Palomina, 2960 North Swan. And at Williams Center, 250 South Craycroft. TridentGrill.com.
Hi, it's Chris.
And Corbin.
Those guys from Tucson Appliance Company. We're known around the community for many things.
Like being an honest, family-owned business.
With a big heart and lots of community involvement, but mostly we're known for saving you money.
And we're doing it again. Through the end of April, we'll pay the sales tax on the entire in-stock purchase.
That's right, we'll pay the sales tax. So who saves you the most money? Those guys from Tucson Appliance Company at Speedway in Columbus, where our low prices are your priority.
These days, we're all paying more attention to our health, but when's the last time you thought about your doctor?
Do you have your doctor's personal cell phone number? We do, and she answers personally.
Does your doctor recognize the expense of health care and only bill in 15-minute increments? Do they care enough about your privacy to only maintain paper records? Does your doctor make house calls? Ours does.
Dr. Lori Thomas is our hometown family doctor. She practices medicine the old-fashioned way. We love her approach, and you will too.
Be healthy and happy by visiting LoriThomasMD.com and tell her American Warrior Radio sent you.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're very pleased to have on the phone Michael Rod Rodriguez, 21 years, if I'm not mistaken, Rod, in the United States Army. He is also currently the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. You can look them up, find out more information about them, GWOT, if I'm getting this right, Michael, GWOTMemorialFoundation.org. And Michael, I'd like to spend a little bit more time about your background, because I think that is important to reinforce why you are one of the perfect people to be leading this memorial foundation. You mentioned you had left Somalia just before what came to be known as the Black Hawk Down situation. Did you eventually get a pet monkey?
No. Thanks for bringing that up. No, I never did. However, during a trip down to South America and doing some counter-drug stuff down in Colombia on a deployment as a Green Beret, we kind of sort of adopted a pet sloth, which is, I think, cooler, a little bit easier to catch and not as devastating, a different odor. But I did kind of have a pet sloth at one point.
You know, a pet sloth sounds like right about in my, yeah, that's what I should get, a sloth. But, Rod, really, and I think that's important to emphasize, because when people think about the global war on terror, very often they go to Iraq or their minds go to Afghanistan. You know, maybe if they're thinking outside the box, Syria. But they don't think about Colombia or some of the other, Southeast Asia. And some of these, I mean, this is a whack-a-mole all around the globe, literally, isn't it?
No, 100%. And thank you for bringing that up. You know, it's really important. It's one of the, you know, first of all, I think this is an undeserved honor for myself to kind of be leading the foundation at this point in my life. But, you know, the global war on terrorism it's all-encompassing. And it's really, you have, terrorism exists throughout the globe, and, you know, unfortunately, people think automatically, you know, Afghanistan or Iraq, or even the veteran community, they'll say, well, I'm an Afghanistan vet, well, I'm an Iraq vet, or I'm a Syria vet, or, you know, and I kind of try to bring everyone together, and that's why one of our tenets is to unify everybody, veterans and civilians alike, is to kind of remind people, like, look, you know, our World War, the greatest generation, World War II veterans, you know, very little of them, they didn't separate or segregate themselves by theater. Now, they were proud of the service that they provided in the theater that they were in. However, I don't, World War II veterans consider themselves World War II veterans. And that's one thing that I hope to accomplish, or we here at the foundation hope to accomplish, is kind of bring everyone back together, remind everybody, not just the civilian community, but those of us that have stepped forward to serve, that, you know, just because you don't know exactly what's going on in another theater does not diminish that, those others, their service, their sacrifice, or, you know, the level of security that they're providing to us all.
Now, Rod, if I heard you correctly, you actually, when did you make the transfer from quote-unquote regular Army to Green Berets? What year was that?
So I went to selection in 1997, and then after 2 years of training, I was in 18 Delta, which was the medic for the team. It was the longest training. Plus, I had to recycle a portion of my training. You know, I didn't sweep right through it. So it took me 2 years. So then I graduated the Q course at the end of 99.
Okay. I guess my point of that is, so often when we think about the global war on terror, we go back to September 11th, 2001. But you and your comrades, I mean, you're out there in the world, and you know this was not something that just popped up. This has been going on for a while. Right.
Exactly. You know, and I'm really glad you started your show, which is phenomenal, by the way. I went through listened to some of your podcasts and some of the other guests. I'm truly humbled to be on your show, Ben. But I'm really glad you started it with that in naming everything. You know, terrorism did not just begin following the attacks of September 11, 2001. Now, it was the very first time that not only our nation but the world step forward and decided to take a concerted effort to fight it. But terrorism's been around, you know, it's been around for the longest, you know, and we need to be sure that we remind everybody of those attacks and from those cowardly attacks. Really, it's a terrorist attack is a cowardly attack, and they're all cowards, and I'll say that openly. So I think it's really important to remind everybody of that.
Now, Rod, I'm guessing if it was up to you, you'd still be serving, you'd still be in the teams, you'd still be out there in the field or training your comrades. But tell us about what happened that put you on a different path.
That's probably the one thing that I live with every day is I miss it. I miss uniform every single day. I would, you know, still continue to serve if I had that. However, you know, the good Lord chose a different path for me, so I'm finding my service in a different way. So my injuries, I don't have, like, majority of, like, veterans that get medically retired or wounded in combat. They'll be like, this is my alive day, or this is the time I was injured. I was fortunate that, you know, the multiple times that I was injured through concussive blasts, whether it was an IED or other serious injuries, for whatever reason, I was able to walk off the battlefield. I was able to stand up and continue to stay in the fight. I kind of joke around like a roach. You know, I just kept coming back. I probably should have died a long time ago, but like, yeah, I'm still here. But basically it was the people need to understand, everybody does, and I think we do better now than we did 10 years ago, is concussions and brain injuries, TBIs, are a cumulative effect. So every time I got my bell rung, you know, it would slow me down a little bit. But I was fortunate that, you know, blessed that I was able to operate at such a high capacity that it was still able to stay in the fight. Now, I'm not saying that like I'm Superman or anything like that. I was just able to hide my what was going on with me. And as I mentioned earlier, I was a medic. So what I did in order to stay in the fight was I treated myself. I was like, okay, this is hurt here. Let me take care of this. Okay, I can manage treatment of this, because that was one of my responsibilities, to take care of the team. Well, I did the best I could to take care of myself. And looking back, I thought I was doing the right thing by staying in the fight. And at that time, I think I was. But really, I was following the majority of those injuries, particularly in 2006. I was nowhere near 100%. You know, I was operating about 50, 60% maybe. But I was so aggressive and so, you know, high strung that no one really noticed it. And in truth be told, I was a liability. You know, you know, the question was posed to me once. They're like, well, Rod, you know, I was at Walter Reed. They were like, would you want someone like you on your team if you did and not know about it? And it was an easy answer. I was like, no. They're like, well, why should they have you?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. You know, that was a huge, it was a hard pill to swallow, but it was a big, you know, come to the Lord moment for me. And that's when I realized, you know, I thought was doing the right thing. I was not performing at 100%, and that was not fair to the men and women that I served alongside.
Now, Rod, just for the benefit of our listeners, what happened was after an IED blast, you didn't lose your eye, but you lost the vision in your left eye, you tried to continue on, but that eventually, as you say it and well spoken, sir, is, you know, you owe it to your fellow team members to be at 100%, and you just weren't anymore.
Right. So in 2006, I had three significant TBIs, the lights went out on my left eye. I didn't lose my eye, and I'll explain why my eyes are a different color here in a second. So I thought I was, you know, I was like, I'll be fine. So basically, I was like a one-eyed guy for another 2.5 months of deployment because we were still in country, which is not good when you're hitting compounds. And I was a sniper. I was a senior sniper for my detachment. So that was not good. You know, we're trained observers. I mean, I was just, again, and just to reinforce that I was not doing the right thing. And the other thing, too, I want to caveat that with saying that I didn't do anything that I don't believe anything else would have done. You know, I'm not Superman. I'm not someone all, like, super awesome. No, I think everyone else that was injured in the line of duty would continue to stay in the fight if they were presented that opportunity. And I was just, like I said, I was a roach. I just kept going back. So my vision was gone. I was having balance problems, but following that deployment, I knew I was going to be an instructor at the sniper course here at Fort Bragg. I still live outside of Fort Bragg right now today. And I thought I would get better, you know, because back then, in 2006, that's what the entire medical, everyone said, you'll get better with brain injuries. So I thought I'd get better, but it continued to progress. And I had my vision came back, but my eyes stopped talking to each other. Where the damage within my brain, I had horrible diplopia, which is double vision. So then anyway, my symptoms continued to progress. So I ended up going and getting sent to Walter Reed for a couple months. But, the reason I have a different colored eye is I wear a prosthetic lens that covers my entire eye. And it's a different color because the doctor's like, hey, I can't match it right now. I'm like, I don't care, whatever you can do. Cause the alternate was to wear an eye patch. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty physical guy. I'm an active guy. And if you ever try to exercise or do anything with an eye patch on, it's a pain in the butt. Aside from the 10,000 pirate jokes you'll hear. So
tell that to Congressman Crenshaw. I think he might debate that with you, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I'm sure he hears plenty, especially being a Navy man. But, you know, so there's doctors that could make these prosthetic lenses that will cover your eye. I said, I don't care, doc. I will wear a red rubber clown nose if it helps me. And he did. And what it does is it blocks enough vision out of my left eye, because I'm right eye dominant, to where my brain is only processing an image from my right eye. So I see monocular. I have single vision. And the beauty of the lens I wear, it allows some vision in from my left eye, so I don't lose all my peripheral vision or depth perception. But it just looks different. I look like half Siberian Husky, you know. I just look a little bit different, but it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, I was going to say, Rod, actually, when people see your photo, it is quite striking because it stands out. I was going to, you know, guess Queensland healer, but it works for me. And so, Rod, I think we've done a pretty good job establishing your bona fides here. When we come back, I'd like to talk more about the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. One of the other things that I suspect was a great honor for you, you were selected and served 3 years on President Bush's Military Service Initiative Advisory Council, and you not only forged a friendship, but you also forged a dagger for him. I'd like you to explain that to our listeners when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, joined by Michael Rod Rodriguez, the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. You can find out more. Visit GWOTMemorialFoundation.org. We'll be right back.
Studies show that veterans are 30% more likely to experience hearing loss. The doctors at Sonora Hearing Care specialize in providing treatment solutions to help you lead a more comfortable and productive life. Many of our satisfied patients are veterans and active duty military. If you are becoming frustrated with only hearing parts of conversations or with the ringing or buzzing from tinnitus, call Sonora Hearing Care today to schedule an appointment. The professional and caring staff at Sonora Hearing Care will evaluate your condition and make recommendations for the best treatment. Call 881-8740 today or visit SonoraHearingCareTucson.com.
In trying times, we could all use some good old-fashioned comfort food. How about the all-American flavors of Tucson's Best Barbecue? Brush Fire Barbecue has been named Tucson's Best Barbecue 9 years in a row. They're now offering pickup and delivery from both Tucson locations, 22nd and Kolb and Campbell and Glenn. Slow-smoked meat, chicken or ribs by the meal, or even meat by the pound. Don't forget to add some delicious side dishes and appetizers. Why not treat your family to a stress-free feast from Brushfire Barbecue today? Visit Brushfire BBQ for menus and contact phone numbers. That's brushfirebbq.com.
You took an oath to protect and serve our nation. Why not continue that service in our community? The Pima County Sheriff's Department is seeking individuals who exemplify discipline, leadership, and compassion and invites you to test for the position of deputy sheriff or correctional officer. Military applicants receive preference points and earn VA education benefits and college credits during training. Correction officers start at $21.50 per hour and deputies at $25.50 per hour. You must be 18 to apply for corrections and 21 for sheriff's deputies. Begin your second career of service by visiting GOPCSD or call 520-351-6847.
Military life can do a number on your back. Did you know chronic pain affects 44% of military personnel? The Joint Chiropractic is here to help, offering a discount on chiropractic care for active and retired military members and their families. Come in now to experience the Joint's exclusive military pricing of just $19 for your initial consultation, exam, and adjustment. Open evenings and weekends. No appointment or insurance required. Visit thejoint.com for a location near you in Tucson. You have our back. Let us help you with yours.
For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who served our country, guys like me. Support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Learn how you can help at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
There's never been a better time to get out and enjoy our great outdoors and improve your health. Whether you're a recreational cyclist or a competitor, check out Tucson Endurance Performance Center. Owner Brian Grasky is an F-16 pilot and competed at the national level. He knows the importance of quality equipment kept in top shape. That's why Tucson Endurance Performance Center has the most experienced techs in town. Check out their variety of bicycles, equipment, and gear at TucsonEnduranceCenter.com or stop by one of their two locations, northeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove or in the Crossroads Festival Complex at Grant and Swan.
Research shows one in three job-seeking veterans are underemployed, with more veterans asking for help all the time. The mission of the Call of Duty Endowment is to place 100,000 veterans in high-quality jobs by 2024, and we are more than halfway to our goal. Last year alone, we placed more than 10,000 veterans in full-time jobs paying salaries significantly higher than the national minimum wage. And we do this at a cost one-sixth less than government programs. Will you help us reach our goal? You can donate to the Call of Duty Endowment with full confidence. We have received GuideStar's highest rating for transparency and impact. Every donation received goes directly to funding veteran employment programs. Activision Blizzard pays for all endowment operating costs. Help us make a real difference for our veterans today. Visit callofdutyendowment.org to learn more and make your tax-deductible donation today. That's callofdutyendowment.org.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're having just a really peach of a chat with Michael Rod Rodriguez. He's the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. Rod, I want to talk more about the cause, the effort, the initiative that you are leading, but I specifically reference President Bush because he is, when someone goes to your website and looks at the team, I mean, his is the first face that pops up next to yours. How did your relationship with the president begin?
Okay, so President Bush, you know, one of the things he does, him and Mrs. Bush have pledged the rest of their lives to continue to serve those that have stepped up and served our nation. You know, he's an incredibly amazing family. You know, the whole family is awesome. So in 2014, I got invited to his ranch to ride mountain bikes with him and a bunch of other wounded veterans. So he holds two events a year, a golf tournament and mountain biking. I'm more of a physical guy, I do not golf. So I rode mountain bikes with him for 3 days, and then he invited me back in 2015. And then in 2015, for his military service initiative, one of the initiatives that exists at the Bush Institute, they have several different initiatives. Following when they left office, they continued their good works, not only here in the nation, but globally. And military service initiative is one of those. So he was forming an advisory council. He needed, he was looking for strategic guidance on how to better serve post 9/11 veterans and their families. So he formed this council of 13. Chairman is General Peter Pace, 16th Chairman, Joint Chief of Staff. You have some very influential people, very, very affluent, very, amazing folks. And but he wanted to be sure to, I guess, have one of us on there that went through, some of the challenges that veterans face today. So I was selected to sit on his advisory council because not only did I serve for 21 years and deployed multiple times, I'm also a spouse. My wife served for 21 years before she retired. So I know what it's like to watch your loved one, your spouse, go to war. But I'm also a father of an active duty 82nd Airborne paratrooper. So I know what it's like to have your son, your child go to war. And deploy and serve and patrol the same lands of Afghanistan that I had years prior. So that was, it was one of the things that I brought to the council. And through that work with him and the rest of the folks, the rest of the leadership at the Bush Institute, formed the relationship, got to know him as an hombre, as mm-hmm. a regular man. I got nothing but love for him. I really do. I call him the boss. That's what I reference him as, but he's just an amazing, amazing individual.
Now, Rod, he is probably streaming this show right now. When we're done, he's going to text you and say, "Rod, I've always wanted to go on American Warrior Radio. Can you make it happen?"
Let him know. Send me that text, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let him know. So let's talk about the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This was a group of like-minded patriots, as it's described on your website, that came together in 2015. Were you part of that initial group, or did you come along a little bit later?
No, sir. I was not. I'm not one of the founders. They're actually on our website, so I invite everyone to go see who really started this effort. I met them in 2016 at an event, and I didn't even know they existed. It was, they told me the mission and asked if I would consider joining the board. I was like, of course, I believed in it. I joined in 2016, and then in 2017, the foundation, we introduced our initial piece of legislation to get authorization to build this memorial, because there's a law that exists that states a war has to be over for 10 years in order for a national war memorial to be built. Now, that law was written in 1986, so there's no way they could have forecasted we'd be in this, in the multi-generational war we're in right now. So we introduced that bill in 2017. It passed unanimously. And in August of 2017, President Trump signed the National Global War on Terrorism War Memorial Act, exempting us from that 10-year moratorium and designating us as the only nonprofit authorized to do so. So up to that point, anybody else, any other nonprofit could have stepped forward to do this. Go ahead.
Well, Rod, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I noticed that, too, in what is now Public Law 115-51. I didn't know there was a waiting period, but and that's what's so, to me, very unique about the story of you and this foundation is things are different than they were in World War II, in Korea, and Vietnam. And one of those things is this war continues. There's people fighting it right now all around the globe.
Exactly.
So
you're right.
I tell you, it's interesting when I look at the mission of the foundation. There's four words that are listed there: honor, heal, empower, and unite. And one of the things, again, talking about what's different, what I believe is different about your group. So, for example, when you talk about honor, you're not only saluting those who serve, but the intention is also to salute those civilians and those families of those who served. When you talk about healing, you bring up the fact this is a multi-generational war, and people so often overlook that. We do what we believe to be as one of the largest 9/11 memorial challenges in the country, using
exclusively military and first responders. And this past year, Rob, for the first time, and one of the parts of the ceremony that we do is have, you know, having young people take their oath of enlistment there at the ceremony in front of everybody. And last year, for the first time, it struck us, you know, these young people that are taking the oath, they weren't alive in 2001. And now they're stepping up to fill the role of some of the leaders who started this. And I mean, just, wow. Long time.
Yeah, it's really, you know, and the thing too is, you know, you mentioned our tenets, honor, heal, empower, unite. And you also bring up, you know, something that's important, is near and dear to my heart, is we're recognizing everybody that served, because the very first Americans on the ground in Afghanistan, it happened in September 26, 2001. It was not October 7th. October 7th, the offensive operations began. However, we had, this was just declassified last year by the CIA, we had CIA operatives in country before, you know, before Green Berets. I mean, that is the truth. I have deployed a number of times, and I have, my last deployment, we had FBI guys, we had DEA guys, we had guys from various intelligence agencies assigned to the team, going on missions, doing the exact same thing that we did. You know, an interesting statistic that people don't really know about, but is that the Department of Labor compiles, you know, losses, you know. And so from September 11th to April 2019, we lost 3,413, I'll say that again, 3,413 civilian government contractors were killed in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Wow.
3,413 civilians were killed, you know, on top of the, I think we're you know, the same report put out, we had 6,967 service members killed. So almost half of the military deaths, we have civilian deaths. Now, here's something else that people need to understand with regard to ratios. During Desert Storm, the ratio of contractor to uniformed service member was about 50 to 1. Today, it is 1 to 1. And in some cases, it is 2 contractors for every uniformed service member. So we need to recognize all Americans that have stepped forward, are serving and fighting in this global war on terrorism. This memorial, once it's completed, will be the most broad, diverse, and inclusive war memorial that has ever been built. You know, we are in a different time. We are fighting a war we never, ever thought would ever exist. I mean, you really can't see this. There's no, you mentioned this is unconventional. That's my wheelhouse, right? That's, we understand mm-hmm. that. And is totally unconventional. So that is why our fourth tenet is unite. We need to remember and recognize all Americans are step forward and serving, because there's a reason why we can fight with such a small percent of Americans in uniform. It's because right now we have Americans that are performing wartime missions that were once uniforms wearing individuals. That does not diminish their service, does not diminish their sacrifice, and it sure as heck does not diminish the losses that this nation has experienced.
Rod, that brings me to Ben's dumb question of the show, which I get one, at least one every week, because it's my darn show. Well, how do you, when it comes to those, and I know you haven't really started the design phase of the memorial yet, but if there are plans to list names, really a two-part question, what will be the date? You know, we talked about what was happening before September 11th. So what is the date that you're going to start that list at? And then number two, you talk about CIA and some of these civilian contractors. I'm guessing there's some names that will never be known.
You are right. So that's a very good question, and you're not the first to ask. So it's not a dumb question. thanks for bringing that up. So the date for that we were is the global war on terrorism began following September 11th. You know, we're not going to diminish or take away from any of the terrorist attacks, but the global war on terrorism, which is what we are honoring right now, is this. And it is my hope that our efforts will bring light to all the other terror attacks, you know, like the Beirut bombing and the suicide attack against USS Cole, you know, and perhaps other people will pick up this standard that I'm carrying and do their part to recognize them as well. Now let's talk about names. One of the things that one of our values is this is unfinished. You know, it's something that we are following. We don't know. We're not even there yet. So in the 24-step process to build a memorial in our nation's capital. I don't want to bore your listeners. We're in steps 9 through 12, which is site selection. The next steps, that's when we'll get into to design. Now, I don't know. I mean, I would be speaking out of turn if I was to tell you how that will be addressed. Those are future board discussions that we'll have. But one thing we have to keep in mind is, you know, the opportunity for technology, you know, mm-hmm. to provide this continuation of growth. You know, once we get a plot of land and a site and once it's built, we're not going to add to it. But there will be a modularity to it, meaning we could add to it. And it was something I like to bring, Redek, to have people start thinking outside the box is, in 1982, when the Vietnam Wall was dedicated, in order for me to find my cousin who's listed on that wall, I would have to go to one of the books on either side of the wall and look up their name, and it'll tell me where, you know, Andres is listed. Today, I can do that with a cell phone the size of my hand. In 1982, there's no way they could have forecasted that. So right. I use that as an example. Once we get to design and get to the building, there may be opportunities where someone could walk up with some type of electronic device, and instead of having a name, there might be, let's say we capture images or stories, and you'll get to hear, you know, Rod tell you a story about a deployment, or you get to hear, you know, Private Rodriguez tell a story. You know, we don't know. So that those are things that I want to, you know, and I love ideas. You know, we don't know everything. I want other people to think about this stuff, because when we get to that, that's when we're going to go back to the American people and ask them what they think.
Rod, we need to take another break real quick. When we come back, I do want to talk about that, because you mentioned the 24 steps. This is not something that's easy to do. Just talking to you now, I know that clearly you're the right man for the job and you're up to the challenge. So when we come back, I want to talk about what remains to happen and how our listeners can help. And just, I got to tell you, that Unite tenant there, you know, I've had so many military people or even first responders on the show saying, look, I never want another 9/11, but I would love to see more 9/12s. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll hear more from Michael Rod Rodriguez, the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. Find out more at GWOTMemorialFoundation.org.
At the Specialists, they know the best quality window tint, paint protection, and alarm systems can defend your car. They do their job whether you're thinking about it or not. The Specialists remind you to take a moment to pause and thank those men and women who are protecting your rights, your freedoms, and your family. Many are doing so today, whether you're thinking about it or not. If you're a member of our armed forces looking to protect your vehicle, please visit any of the three locations in Tucson and one in Sierra Vista. Ask for your military discount. You've earned it. Find out more at az-specialist.com or call 795-4300.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee is working to identify transportation priorities for the region. These priorities will guide development of an RTA continuation plan for projects beyond June 2026. The RTA's current 20-year transportation plan is funded by a state-established, voter-approved special taxing district within Pima County. To learn more about RTA's continuation plan, funding options, and how you can provide input, visit rtamobility.com.
I've been a fan of Jen and Eli Crane since they first came on our show following Bottle Breacher's appearance on Shark Tank. The staff at Bottle Breacher use 50 caliber ammunition downrange. They now use them to produce the best gift and promotional products on the market. American Warrior Radio uses logo branded Bottle Breachers, and our fans love them. Now you as a listener can save 20% when you visit BottleBreacher.com and use the code AWR20. Truly unique and personal company gifts made by veterans. Visit BottleBreacher.com and enter the American Warrior discount code AWR20.
Trust. Whether you're protecting our streets or our nation, you have to trust the man or woman beside you. Curtis Plumbing has developed a reputation of trust over 40 years, and you can count on their honest, hardworking technicians to properly diagnose and fix the problem the first time. Then Tucson's most reasonable rates, always a discount for seniors and members of our military. From the smallest job to a complete install or remodel, Curtis even provides 24 hours emergency service. 323-7697, CurtisPlumbing.net.
For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who've served our country, guys like me. Support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Learn how you can help at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Michael Rod Rodriguez. He's the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. You can learn more, visit GWOTMemorialFoundation.org. Rod, we mentioned you just don't go out on the National Mall and plunk down a fountain in a reflecting pool and put up some plaques. This is a 24-step process. I think you said you're on step 9 of those 24 so far?
Yeah, we're currently steps 9 through 12, which is site selection.
Now, I love this right now, and I want to talk about what people can do to help out. Right now, there is a bill introduced by two combat veterans who are now congressmen, Jason Crow of Colorado and Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, H.R. 5046. Tell us why that is important, an important next step in your move towards getting this memorial actually in the ground.
Yes. So in order for us to build this memorial along in a face beat fitting disservice that is occurred and service yet to be seen is we need to get authorization from Congress. And this is where your listeners can help us the most, believe it or not. So Representative Raul Grijalva, he's your congressman, a great gentleman. He's been champion for fighting for people with underrepresented voices. He is the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. So this gentleman can make or break us, really. So H.R. 5046 will grant us authorization to build this memorial in what's called the reserve, where all the other war memorials are built, then we'll be allowed to build there. Otherwise, it will be forced in the fabric of the city, will be forced off, and then we won't be able to fully recognize and acknowledge the level of service this nation has contributed in the global war on terrorism. You know, and that's why I say your listeners can help. He's your congressman. I think it's the 3rd district. Reach out to him, call him, send him an email, write him. I don't think you can pop in his office right now with the quarantine or anything. But really, your listeners can help us. You know, he's a gentleman of the people. He grew up on the border. I'm from southern New Mexico. I think he's a great man. He champions the people. And I really believe once I finally get to sit down and talk with this gentleman, he'll understand, because he is the chairman of the committee that we have to get, that this bill will actually go before.
Right.
So he's the hombre.
Well, I tell you, I want to emphasize something. We have, we broadcast in multiple markets and we stream nationwide. So wherever you are, listeners, pick up the phone and call your representatives or send them an email and ask them to support H.R. 5046. That's absolutely critical. Rod, the design of the monument is, as I understand it, you haven't started that yet, but to a great extent, the design will depend on the placement, correct? Of what space
yes,
you
sir.
Get.
Right. Right now, within our bill, we have 3 different sites that were selected. And these 3 sites were predetermined. We didn't just throw, darts. These are actually in something called the Memorials and Museums Plan of Washington, D.C. So they're authorized build sites. And, it would be, short-sighted of us to build something, because we want it to become part of the city. You know, it's going to be a functional piece of art, because art is really the only way we'll be able to tell the story of war. It seems somewhat of a dichotomy, but that's just the reality of it, especially those of us who have fought in it. So depending on where we go will dictate the site, and depending on how much land we get will dictate, the design.
Rod, I want to bring that up because I teased that earlier in the show about you not only forging a relationship with President Bush, but you also forged him a dagger. Part of what you started doing to help address your issues is to become a blacksmith. So you're an artist yourself. Maybe not a fair question, but is there one thing that you would like to see as part of this monument, regardless of...
So this is what I would love to see happen, and hopefully we'll get to make this happen, is once we finally get past the site selection, once we finally get authorization to, we get approval for the design, this is what I would love to happen. Once we start building and constructing this thing, is whether it's one day a month or one or two days a quarter, during the construction phase, I would love to provide an opportunity for those who served in the global war on terrorism to come and work on their memorial. whether it's carrying sandbags or pouring cement or swinging a hammer or digging a ditch. I don't know. You know, that is, if I could, you know, make anything happen, that is one thing I would love to happen, because then they could say that's not just a memorial that represented my service. That is something I helped build. And when you do something with your own hands, it, aside from it being extremely gratifying, there's a cathartic aspect to it, which is why I got involved in art. You know, I regularly work with the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm a huge champion for the arts. Never did I think I would, as a Green Beret, I'd ever be an artist, but I am in that regard. So to your question, that's what I would love to happen is, you know, once we get to that piece, is to provide the people of America, those that served, an opportunity to build their memorial.
Now, Rod, I noticed that you're a very shy guy. I'm not, so let me throw it out there, too. The other thing folks can and need to do is to donate. There will be no government funding involved in this memorial. Folks can go to GOWTMemorialFoundation.org right now and pitch in. $5, $10, $1 million, whatever it is, it all makes a difference. And I think this is something, I don't think, I know this is something that all of us as Americans need to step up and support. And we're running short on time, Rod. We've only got about 3 minutes left. And one other thing I'd like you to talk about briefly is, we sort of alluded to it earlier in the show, the importance of the timing on this. The senior leaders, at those who were in senior leadership positions when this war began, are now in their 60s and their 70s. And we don't want them to experience what, or not experience, I should say, like you referenced, many of the World War II veterans never got to see their memorial.
Exactly right. Both of my grandfathers who served in World War II never had the opportunity to see their memorial. You know, our senior leadership, one of them I mentioned earlier, who's actually, we're humbled to have him on our board of advisors, is 16th Chairman and Joint Chief of Staff, General Peter Pace. The man is in his 70s. Now, I think he's going to be around for many years, but, you know, these people who served our senior leadership, or even those that fought at the start of it, you know, our children are now fighting in the same war, patrolling the same lands that we patrolled, hunting down the same people. We need to do this as soon as possible, and I wholeheartedly believe that the American people, the American patriot, will step forward and do this, which is why we have not asked for any government funding. This memorial belongs to the people of America.
And once again, folks, you can donate. Visit GOWTMemorialFoundation.org. Contact your elected representatives. The bill is H.R. 5046. Ask them, demand that they support that bill. And then also share your story. Make sure folks don't forget. If you served or had a family member who served, please share your story with others. Rod, last thing on your bio, I found it very interesting amongst all your service and awards and hanging out on the ranch with President Bush. One of the things you mentioned really struck me, and you list hermano as one of your
yes.
qualifications. Why is that important to your fellow veterans?
Because we're a big family. I mean, that's how I look at it. I love, you know, and I say it with the utmost respect and passion that is me or anybody's ever met me, is I love them as my family. Anybody that's served, anybody that's come forward, and patriotism doesn't necessarily mean wearing a uniform. If you are serving your fellow man, you have my love.
Wonderful. Again, folks, please visit GWOTMemorialFoundation.org. Rod, thank you so much for your service and for spending time with us. Tyler, if you're listening out there, thanks for setting this up. Just a wonderful conversation. Please, folks, there's something all of us can do, particularly in these days when we could use a little unity in our country. Take action. Call your representatives. Make a donation. Rod, thank you, sir. Hopefully we can get a chance to sit down for real sometime, and I'll check out some of those cool daggers.
Yes, sir. I hope to see you, and I invite everyone to go to GWOTMF.org and follow us on social media.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast and others can be found at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Patreon page. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place.
Listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.